Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, Ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
I am absolutely sanctified in Jesus right now. But I am living out tough times, just like all of us are, in this world we live in. And therefore, it gets on you a little bit. And I need to remember the Spirit's my guide. And the translators had enough forethought in the King James to say through here. They don't always hit the mark on all of their choices. But this is about the Spirit. And through that day-to-day experience that you're having, they were scattered. You and I are watching our world be shattered. And we're dealing with that. The prices of the meat, the prices of the chips, the prices of whatever you like. You're going to have to kind of rein some things in. You're going to have to tighten your belt. And the funny thing is, with Americans, we can tighten pretty good because we got so much insulation. You know, it's like somebody says, if you're really, really thin when you get to the end of life, that's kind of dangerous. It's the person who's got a little bit of meat on them, because if you get hit one time, you know, you got something to burn down before you get in trouble. And that's the way it is in America. We've been sick for a long time. And now we've got to lose some weight. And a lot of the weight is a prosperity weight. A lot of the weight is a byproduct of a blessing that God has put on our families and our homes and on our country. But we've not been paying attention. We've been basking in the sunshine, not realizing that the whole thing has been going downhill for a long time. And not willing to really do much about it until maybe we have to. But it says not only through sanctification of the Spirit, so He's bringing you along. He brought you to Himself. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes into the world to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, right? That's what His job is. He convicted us there, and He's our constant companion. He takes us through life, and He helps us get our feet under us, and eventually we stand up and don't fall as often. You ought not be falling as much as you once did, okay? You ought to be falling less. You're getting older now. When you get real old, of course, you might fall just in physical form, but that shouldn't happen that way in spiritual sense. You shouldn't be falling as much as you get older. And it says, not only through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, listening under God, but and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that's important contextually because He's talking to Jewish people. Jewish people knew how that the old covenant was ratified with the blood of goats, poured out in a bowl and mixed with water. Take a bush of hyssop and some wool, and they would dip that in there, and they would splash it on the people. And they would splash it after he read everything. He'd splash it on the tabernacle. He splashed it on the book. And he said, this is the blood of the covenant I've cut with you. We have a better covenant. That's why sprinkling's mentioned here. We were all sprinkled under Jesus when we got saved. We all came under the covenant of the sprinkling of the blood. Now, there's more to it than that, because the New Testament age is much more dramatic. OK, and what happens when you're going through your sanctification process is there are times when you actively cooperate with the sanctification process. Things went hard. You didn't get angry. You brought yourself under control. OK, and you turned out to be OK in that one challenge. But sometimes you are passive. And you kind of aren't even engaged at all. And sometimes you'll go weeks without really engaging with the Lord because you got away with it a little bit. And pretty soon it's a couple weeks, maybe months, sometimes years, God forbid, but sometimes. But you know what happens is that if you're really God's child, He never lets you go. He doesn't ever stop talking to you. And even if you were away for a long time, those little mercy drops that come into your life now and again to get your attention, you're just like, what? God is so amazing how He can tailor it just to us. But what happens is it's kind of like what happened with Peter. Do you remember when Peter was in prison and he was going to be killed by Herod the next day? And he's having a nice sleep. He was good. I'm good. Well, what happened? The prison cell literally flooded with light. What happened? He had to hit him. The Bible says the angel smote Peter. Now, if you stop there, you'd get the wrong idea. It means he hit him on the arm. He says, put your shoes on. Get up, walk out the gate. It was by the time he got out, he thought it was all just crazy. My point is this. If you're a child of God, He never, ever, ever will let you go. He'll let you get your hand burned on the burner. He'll let you get some wounds that you'll be ashamed of in, you know, time, poor people sometimes, but he will never let you go. And just like that, he will wake you up. He'll bring you out and you'll be in good ground. The Bible says it in a verse by saying, we faint not because our inner man is renewed day by day. So when you see me talking about Peter, I'm seeing that is how some of us are. We've been sleeping for a long time. Remember what it says in Ephesians? Awake you who sleep and arise from the dead. Who's he talking to? Christians. What are they doing in the graveyard? He's not talking about people getting saved. He's saying you've been sleeping in the graveyard. This is a graveyard. The world is filled with people who are dead in trespasses and sins. It's a graveyard. Why are you in there, you know, enjoying all that? The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Isn't that powerful? I mean, that's one that's easy to overlook. You quote it quick. I've done it for years. The love of the Father, we can't be in love with this world. It can't be our end all be all because Jesus is supposed to be that. He won't share his glory or his throne with another. And so I say to you that when you see these things coming under the scrutiny of those who were reading it in the real time, these are Jewish people who understood the sprinkling of the old covenant. Even the people, the book, everything was sprinkled by blood. His blood was better. That's why he's going to say later, we're redeemed with not corruptible things like, you know, sheep and goats and all those and silver and gold. But he says, but with the purchased with the spotless blood of Jesus. What I'm saying is he's telegraphing right away. He's dancing with these people. Do you see it? There's nothing more exciting than dancing with God's word and seeing what he's up to. Watching him unfold this drama around you and me is a thrill to our souls. There is a mark coming for every hand and every forehead, and we're not going to be here for that. And if it's that close, Jesus is coming. That's dancing with Jesus. He's dancing with the people in the early New Testament. They all understood the stranger. They understood the diaspora. They understood this blood of sprinkling. And that blood of sprinkling is what gives them the ability to get up and say, you know what, I do believe in Jesus. I know my world's been upended, and I know I'm here. Abraham was here too, and he had that same experience. I'm just like him. This is my story. And your story is now. And when you begin to realize that God's got a plan behind all of the dystopian world we're in, you can begin to say, well, this could be kind of fun. You say, well, I don't want this kind of fun. You're like I was when I was little. I didn't like the roller coaster. I'd kind of pinch up, clench up, and wait until it was over. I had a big headache at the end. I was just little. I had a headache. I got a little older. I realized if you scream as loud as you can as you're going down the hills and around the corners, you get all that anxiety out and you had a good time. Kind of like Jehoshaphat when he was told, you will stand and watch and I will give you the victory. You don't have to fight. He said, well, that doesn't work for me. Hey, everybody, get some trumpets. We're going down into the valley. And so when they were getting all whooping up on each other down there in the valley, he and his friends were singing, praise ye the Lord, his mercy endures forever and ever. And the fur was flying all around him, but it did not come near unto them. What a mighty God we serve. The Bible says that this is something you need to understand. God loved you. He elected you. He spoke your name before time began. And you are saved and brought along now in the midst of your drama through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. He's in there teaching you to listen to his voice. And that blood of sprinkling covers all of us. And it's not only a blood of sprinkling that you need once, but it's available all the time for you to go back and draw down on. And he ends that verse with saying, grace and peace unto you be multiplied. Now, when you look at the word grace and peace, you understand that grace is the biggest thing, right? That's huge. By grace are you saved through faith. That means it's unmerited favor. You didn't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You don't earn it. It's all of grace. Grace, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. Gift of God, not of works. Grace. I like to tell people like this. If you take three things that are in the same kind of world, it's the idea of mercy, grace, and justice. Justice is you get what you deserve. Mercy, you didn't get what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. That's getting the key to the city when you broke the law. Not just getting a pass. Not just not getting a ticket. He gave you an heir, an inheritance, which he's going to get to. Grace. Be multiplied. Why would it be multiplied? Because now you need it. You remember when Paul had a thorn in the flesh in the Corinthians? He was telling about it and he said, I have this thorn in the flesh and I asked God three times, please remove this thorn from me. And he was answered by the Lord on the third time. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for in your weakness I am made strong. And Paul went on the record to say, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. People don't like to be in leanness, but if you're in leanness, you might find Jesus there in a way unlike any way else you could possibly imagine. And that's what Paul found. And he said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That's what I want to know. I want fellowship with Jesus. Because when you're riding that wave, you know, the people who do that stuff, the waves, that's got to be cool, right? That's what Paul was saying this is. You're in a crazy time. Don't lose heart. He's called your name. Not one will be lost, okay? He's going to keep them, and he's going to keep them safe. And so he moves from that in verse 3, and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, not giving us what we deserve, hath begotten us again, grace, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Blessed is eulogeo. Eulogeo, it means to eulogize God now. You got to understand, when we are backs to the wall, people always want to look up to the heavens and say, why me? What did I do to deserve this? Job didn't do that. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, right? Understand. He's saying, don't fall into the trap of speaking poorly of the Heavenly Father. Because our Heavenly Father is not bad, not evil, and he's not being mean. The Heavenly Father is being awesome. Because that's what he does. Okay. James said, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life. You get some crowns together, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The next verse is telling, let no man say when he is tested, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And that was the problem with the people James was writing to. They were blaming everything on God. If God made me do this, not my fault. No, no, no. God's awesome. He's in charge. You know, when God takes us through the hard places, we have to know our Bibles enough to at least find purchase, right? If you've ever seen those rock climbers and those rock climbing gyms, there's always a place to put your foot, a handle to grab hold of or whatever. It's much more harsh and hostile in the wilderness, obviously. But when people do that kind of thing, they're looking for purchase. And when you're in that scary place, you need some place to put your foot. You need a place to grab, to move forward. God would have you grab on verses like this. He would have you grab on verses like Philippians 1, 28 and 29. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. When this world comes against us, it's a spiritual clash of kingdoms going on all around us. In nothing being terrified by your adversaries, which to them is an evident token of perdition or hell. You see, when you and I come clashing against the world, like the J6 prisoners in Washington that have been there over a year without speedy trial, without constitutional rights, nobody's doing anything for them. They're still in there, over 400 of them. When those people are in there, it could be you. We discussed going. We thought, man, that'd be cool. The way it was being promoted, and it sounded fun, it could have been us. And if I have a verse in my mind, then there's something that I got a hold of. He says, no, if I'm not terrified by what they're doing to me, that's an evident token of perdition for them. A token of perdition when you have the right testimony in those hard times. But to you, it's salvation and that of God. It's God coming through and giving you the strength to do that. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.